We are stoned, and that's okay. So why don't you just stay? Sit back and listen. You don't know what you're missing. It's Talking Stoned While Getting Sports.
Welcome, fellow humans. You're listening to Talking Stoned While Getting Sports, episode 172. My name is Morgan, and the guy that's just waking up, probably because BC does weird things with their time.
Hey,
Mr. I almost said my name again, Mr. Austin. How you the sure fuck did. Is it going, buddy?
Yeah, I definitely caught that. I'm Austin. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. How's it going?
You know, it's going good. It's going good. Yeah, time change happened, so I'm even further in the past now, which is cool. Love that.
Which changes nothing.
Just let me know what's happening in the future. Because you'll know if the world ends before we do. Actually, like Australia and New Zealand, they would probably know first. But you know, that's how time works.
With five leads down in New Zealand, so
yeah. Well, and it's the same time for everybody, but it's also a different time for everybody, because that makes sense. Anyway, this isn't a time podcast. This is a sports podcast.
Oh God, this is not getting Stone World Talking Time. That would
Oh boy, that could be interesting.
It would be more interesting if we did other things.
That's true. No, it's going good. I'm getting excited here. My wonderful wife's birthday is on the 13th.
Happy
and
birthday!
And I don't know if I've actually said on the podcast what I got her.
Probably not. Does she listen?
No.
Okay, good.
Not even a second. And it's fine. I actually, what I do is I get it to download on her phone, so it counts like she listened, but she doesn't listen.
That's all that matters.
She supports me, but she doesn't.
My girlfriend uses it to fall asleep, so.
There you go. Hey, you know what? Honestly, if that's what people use our podcast for, that's cool.
I will say give a damn. Nope.
A little hectic sometimes for that to happen, but hey, you know, that's no judgment there. But I actually, I don't know about you, but when you get a gift for somebody ahead of time, for me at least, it is so hard not to want to give the person the gift early.
I always give it early every time.
It's impossible, because it's like, I just want you to have the good thing that I got you. I don't.
I usually give it to them as I'm buying.
Yeah, it's like that. You're purchasing it, like, oh, here you go. Like, wait, what? So I got her a new phone.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah. So, and it's funny because she's been like complaining about her phone and like, oh, it's slow and it's the battery's not good and the case is falling apart. And I'm like, just fucking hold on a sec.
Hold your horses.
Just hold your horses. But yeah,
are we still allowed to say that? Is that one of those phrases that PETA or PETA is not allowing us to say anymore?
PETA can go fuck themselves. I do not give a shit.
I'll hold any horse I want to hold.
If I want to hold a goddamn horse, I'm going to hold a goddamn horse.
They like hugs too.
Exactly. But yeah, no, other than that, just working. I'm going to be transferring stores soon here.
Again?
That's
like your job.
What?
Seems like at least twice a year, if not more, you're transferring to different stores. Sometimes that's moving and stuff, but
in February, I moved back to the island. So obviously I'm going to switch stores. And then the first store I worked at was just for training. And now the store I'm working in, despite us winning store of the quarter, we're closing.
So that was like a going away present, it seems like.
A little going away celebration. It's just our location is super slow. So they're like, this doesn't make sense. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense that it doesn't make sense. Anyway, what have you been up to? What do you got going? What
Well, now I do have to ask kind of a follow-up question. Is the location you're switching to, is it a little closer, better for you? Do you benefit honestly, from this in any way?
I will definitely be benefiting for a couple of reasons. More traffic, and as a salesperson, more people to sell to is a good thing.
Agreed.
Also, honestly, just being back in a mall, there's a lot more food options.
Easier for break time.
For lunch, yeah, because at my work, it's like, well, you could have pizza or Subway.
Both not terrible options,
but
it's nice to mix it up once in a while.
It loses its joy, for sure. But I'm excited. I'll probably be making more money, so that's cool. Yeah.
Now to me, hey?
Yeah.
Well, quite honestly, I really haven't been up to all that much.
That's right.
Just been playing some video games, the typical. I've been playing lots of the new Assassin's Creed Mirage. I don't know if you've played any Assassin's Creeds before or not, but.
Oh. One of them I played for, I think, over 100 hours or a couple hundred hours.
Oh, that's cute.
Odyssey.
Oh, yeah, I put about 150 hours into that one. I
fucking love Odyssey.
And then Valhalla, I put in 250 hours into that one.
Yeah, I wasn't as big a fan of Valhalla.
And so for Mirage, the newest one, I've put in about 25 hours into.
Oh, shit.
That one. It's a lot smaller map and all that deal, but like in the 25 hours, I've already explored the entire map.
Oh, shit.
So I'll get to the storyline eventually.
That's good.
No, other than that, there is Dodgeball, which was Halloween Dodgeball, so people were dressed up. One guy dressed up as a door, which I kind of question his choice of costume when we're playing Dodgeball and you're a cardboard door trying to, well, dodge balls. Fair. He didn't wear it for very long before he took it off.
That checks out.
That was a lot of fun. And coming up, I guess, on the 15th, so in about a week here, just over a week, I guess we record before it comes up. Well, never mind. I'll leave it till next episode. Whatever. No, I'm excited for hunting season. It's starting up here soon, so looking forward to that. So I'm taking 3 whole days off for that. But because I'm taking it off right before the weekend, I get 6 days off in a row. So,
oh, beauty.
Right? Look at me go.
Look at you go.
Look at me go, and now the energy from the pod just drains away because Austin has to speak and do some plugs if he feels fit enough.
Well, first you're going to follow, rate, review, subscribe, download, do all the things, tell your friends, tell your people. I don't know what I'm doing, but now I'm stuck in it and I just can't stop. You're going to reach out to us on Twitter at FitzDFitzGerald. I've been really active when talking about hockey, and it'd be cool to talk to people about hockey. Morgan, you got stuff too?
Yeah, buddy, thanks for passing over to me. You got the famous Captain Morgan 2 over here. You can follow me on X, Twitch, Kick, which is the new streaming platform. And what else do you got? Yeah, just Captain Morgan 2, any social media platform that you can think of. I try and keep the same, keep it simple, keep it cool. Austin, back over to you for hockey. Yeah, all right, so... Austin is dead.
He has left the building. Okay, so we got lots to talk about this week. So we got to talk about some articles and stuff, but we definitely got to do a bit of a early season recap because as early as we are about 10, 11 games into the season, right? We're an eighth of the way in, right? So...
And Austin, like you already mentioned, you've been doing it all this time on Twitter X, so we might as well do it in this pod. So,
oh, I've been tweeting up a storm, and
Twexing. And I'm going to call it Twexing.
No, that's stupid. So
it's happening.
Nicholas Backstrom of the Washington Capitals has had quite the injury history. Issues throughout the past, and when he's healthy, he's fantastic, generally speaking, right? And he's had some great years with obviously with Ovechkin and Kuznetsov and all those guys on that team, OT. But he is taking a leave of absence from the team because of what he has described as an ongoing injury situation. He said a slow start to the season. I believe it was this offseason, he got an artificial left hip, which I'm just, you know, it's at 35 years old, yikes, that you're getting an artificial hip.
You don't want artificial not in that age.
No, and he's taking a step back, and honestly, I fully support it. I think we've talked about it a few times on here when things like this happen. But you got to think about the rest of your life, right? And if continuing to play is going to deteriorate your quality of life, then what are you doing?
Worth it then. He's had a great career as it is. So
he's had an awesome career. He's made a ton of money. He's won a Stanley Cup. There's not much more, other than winning a bunch of, you know, individual awards, but he's had a solid run. And if this is the end for Nick Backstrom, then I mean, good for him. Take the money and run, because like I said, right, you got the rest of your life. He's 35 years old. He's not that much older than us.
No.
Which, dear God.
Mm-hmm.
But every day I'm reminded how old I am. But yeah.
Well, so, we're not actually that old.
I know, and that's the worst part. So, yeah, I obviously feel for the guy, but I hope he makes the right decision for him.
You know? My gut feeling is that this probably will be the last of what we see of him. I know he hasn't officially retired, but
he probably won't even retire. They might just put him on LTIR to get the cap relief.
Yeah, I mean, eventually, every player.
Well, yeah.
Twexes about
it, until the end of his contract, so that it doesn't cause a buyout penalty or whatever.
And then we'll see him tweaks about it and.
We'll see what?
Him tweaks about it. I told you I'm going to twex.
No, it just sounds like you're saying tweaks. Like multiple tweak. Like to tweak something. It doesn't sound
I'm
right.
I'm saying twex now. It's now
it's
twex.
Better. So
it's happening.
Speaking of injuries, but this one isn't nearly as bad now. I've gotten kind of confirmation update from Elliot Friedman.
The insider doing things.
Well, I got to keep that title somehow. So, Elliot Friedman.
That reported, self-imposed title.
Okay. All right. So, Jack Hughes went down pretty awkwardly into the boards the other night. And, you know, being the leading scorer in the NHL right now, he's had an insane start. Obviously, you hate to see that. You hate to see a high scoring player go down with injury. You hate to see anybody go down, but especially that. And
that's what everyone says, but then everyone's like, yeah. Anyways, continue.
All right. Good addition. So obviously he was kept out of the rest of the game, but it turns out not so serious. Could be maybe a couple weeks or a week, which is not bad at all.
Not as bad as it could have been, that's for sure.
Well, and it didn't look great. It did not look great. But this is sorry, I just yeah, do you have anything else to add on the Jack Hughes?
Yep, nope.
All right. So, no, it's okay, because I'm excited to talk about this next thing, because, oh my God, the drama in Ottawa never ends. It just never ends.
No, so, we had quite the Ottawa discussion last episode. This is going to continue real fast.
It sure is. So, last week, obviously, we talked about the Shane Pinto situation. Now... the Ottawa Senators have been punished for a completely different thing. So I don't know if you know the exact details of the trade and everything and what happened, but
we talked about this a little bit last episode, but the more details came out, like yeah. All this stuff came out afterwards.
Yeah. So, Evgeny Dodonov was traded to Vegas in 2021, but he had a 10-team no-trade list. However, during the trade, Ottawa did not disclose that. Now, the Golden Knights weren't on that 10-team no-trade list, so obviously Evgeny Dodonov was eligible to be traded. However, he was under the impression that he should have been under the impression that he kept that no-trade clause, because he did. But then he was... they attempted to trade him to the Anaheim Ducks in 2022, that is the Vegas Golden Knights, and they couldn't because Anaheim was on his no trade list that Vegas had no idea existed because Ottawa didn't disclose that.
Whoopsie.
So now here's the thing. So the Senators, the NHL has decided the Senators must forfeit a first-round pick. Now, it's not necessarily like the next first-round pick. I believe they have a choice. So Ottawa will give up its first-round pick in either 2024, 25, or 26, and has until 24 hours after the draft lottery each of the next 2 years to decide. So... it's a weird thing, but I don't know. So
it's a little strange, but
it's a little strange. however, so this happens, right? And the Sens have a press conference, and Michael Andlauer, I believe, is the name of the, yeah, Michael Andlauer is the new owner, right, of the Senators. And during the press conference, he did make reference to it being a little bit strange that despite having completely new ownership and everything, he's basically getting punished for the last guy's problems, you know, or the last guy's issues.
That is a fair point.
Well, and think too, right? Like, so... the NHL was aware of this, the issue with the draft pick and the fact that they were going to be punishing the Senators, but they didn't disclose that to Michael Andlauer before he purchased the team.
Oh, my Lord.
So, I don't know about you, but me personally, if I had just paid, I believe, $800 million for a sports team... I would like to know everything that's going on. Well, for anything. Oh, yeah. If you're spending almost $1 billion, you better have a full picture.
Hell, even if I'm spending $20 on a hamburger, I still want to know everything about it. We don't. Well, but I want to.
And the fact that they have to give a first round draft. But then on the flip side, it's like, well, okay, I get what he's saying, but the Ottawa Senators misled or didn't do their due diligence to make sure that whatever happened, they were at fault, the Senators. So just because they have new ownership doesn't mean that the Senators aren't still responsible for that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can see both sides here.
I don't disagree with that. That's for sure.
I get the frustration, but it's, yeah, I don't know.
What we've learned from, oh, sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I've enjoyed Andlauer so far. He's been very vocal, and not afraid to speak his mind, which is nice to see in sports with this ownership and stuff, because a lot of the time they just don't say anything and they're just mum's a word, whatever, and he gives real answers, and it's kind of nice.
Yeah, I've been seeing that more across the sports in general, people not being afraid to say what's actually on their mind, which is a breath of fresh air.
Oh, and speaking of the Ottawa Senators, the news just doesn't stop.
Yeah, I think it was like, what, less than 24 hours before the next news happened?
Well, I think this was before.
Okay.
These two articles were actually flipped. But that's okay. Pierre Dorion, the GM of the Ottawa Senators. In fact, the GM that traded Evgeny Dodonov to Vegas got fired because of the issues with... So maybe this did happen like right after. You're right. Never mind.
I think so.
So, yeah. Basically, I guess from what I've heard, they essentially... Andlauer sat down with Dorion and was like, this is not acceptable. I can't have you as my GM. Essentially, like I cannot, there, we can't have this kind of oversight that's going to cost our team this significant draft pick. No, so I get it. And it's funny because the Senators, as much as we're like, oh, they're on the way up, it doesn't necessarily feel like they are. And now they're having all kinds of cap issues because this team is not used to dealing with cap issues. Because they're usually at the bottom. But yeah, I don't know. It's, yeah.
It's not something you want to be happening when, like, this type of distraction for team, like, I've been giving my praise to for a couple of years now, and they're a younger team, and hopefully it doesn't create that much of a distraction. So at least it's like not like the, as far as distractions go, it's not like the head coach or something like that. So it might not impact the players as direct as it could have, which is
right,
best possible outcome right now for this team, because if they just keep winning and and keep playing solid hockey, then all this crap will go behind them in no time. So
It's true. But here we got, oh boy. So I'm actually going to give a little context to this story. Not context, but as a Canucks fan, buddy, the Sharks are historically bad. the Canucks played them the other night and beat them 10-1. Which is rough.
Rough, right? But happens.
I mean, not often.
No, but
it's pretty rare that a team gets beat 10-1. However, it does happen. You are correct. Now, the more rare thing would be giving up 10 goals in consecutive games.
Because usually a team will have a great bounce back game after just getting clobbered.
Or you'd like to hope that they do, but not the Sharks, buddy. Not the Sharks. The Sharks are the first team to allow 10 goals in back-to-back games since the Bruins in 1965.
And so, don't they only have like 10 or 11 goals themselves?
They have 11 goals for, Morgan. They have 11 goals for. They have 54 goals against. Morgan. How the fuck? Hey, you wanna know a fun stat?
Oh, do I ever. Always.
The San Jose Sharks are tied for goals with Austin Matthews.
Oh no. Oh no.
Dude, Matthew scored a hat trick last night to put him up to 11 goals. He has the same amount of goals as the entire roster of the San Jose Sharks. Like, what the fuck? This team is so bad. And okay. Out of the maybe, 10 to 15 listeners we have potentially, I don't think any of them are in San Jose. And if they are, I don't know. They're probably a San Jose Sharks fan, and I feel bad for you because, holy shit! Like, I'm a Canucks fan, so I know bad team. Don't get me wrong. But this is really bad.
Yeah, I expected them to be like not a good team this year. But...
Sure. Of course, sure, yeah, but like, what the fuck?
Yeah, they have a -43. Oh, they have 12 goals for.
Oh, sorry, they have a 1-goal lead on Austin Matthews.
And they have 55 goals against.
Okay, even worse.
So it's the same goal differential.
It's the same goal differential. I was right about something. Oh boy, buddy. That's just like, imagine being a Sharks fan right now. Like, I know the Flames suck, and we can talk about that too, for sure.
Hey, they won last night.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Against the Kraken.
And that was their, let me check here. Oh, cool. Third win of the season in 11 games.
Hey, they're ahead of the Oilers with two apparently the best players in the world.
That's not saying much right now, buddy. That's, well, you can have the best players in the world, but if your goaltending is literally fucking garbage, I don't know what you're supposed to do there.
I guess we're doing this the recap now. It's just happening.
Oh, it is happening. We've transitioned, and the Flames are getting decent goaltending. Markstrom isn't terrible, but what's going on there? I don't know.
The last two games, yes, they lost against Dallas, but then this win against Seattle, I've been seeing a lot of improvement with my Calgary Flames. It has been funny. As soon as you twext about Kadri and Huberdeau, both of them, in the past two games, got points since you mentioned them. So
that is true, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because Jonathan Huberdeau, who is getting paid $10.5 million now,
has six, pretty penny.
has 6 points in 11 games. So that's terrible.
It's not great.
Nazem Kadri making $7 million, I think, a season till the rest of time. 5 points in 11 games. So combined, they are at a point per game. And it's only costing the Flames $18 million.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I'm not happy about it. But they are improving. We'll have this discussion again halfway through the season. I think that will be a more true indication of where the Flames might
For sure.
Yeah.
But like I was saying earlier, you know, over 10 games in, we're over an eighth of the way into the season. This is a sample size.
No, you're not wrong. But just like how I don't think the Canucks are going to stay.
Oh, buddy. Yes, they are.
Go on. No, they're not. Dude, they're fifth in the league.
Dude.
That's I checked.
Their goal differential is the same as the Vegas.
Oh, they're third in the league now. Damn it.
Yeah, they are. The Canucks are 8-2-1, dude. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on right now, but I.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They shut out the Stars last night.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, because, like, anybody can beat the Sharks. The Penguins beat the Sharks. But to beat the Dallas Stars, 2-0. Like, Demko already has 2 shutouts. Pettersson's tied with Jack Hughes for the point lead in the league.
Body. I heard last night, actually, I heard that Pettersson's on pace to reach like 156 points.
Yeah, because he's a fucking G. I think this is a year that people finally realize just how fucking good Pettersson is.
I want to back up just slightly because
okay.
It was funny as soon as you said that, or as soon as I noticed that the Canucks just demolished the Sharks, I went to the schedule. I was like, all right, Flames, when are you playing the Sharks so you can come out of the slump?
Huberto and Kadri put up 8 points.
I don't see them on the agenda anytime soon, but I guess Seattle was the ticket.
But see, here's the thing. That was a good game. I will give you that. That was a
Backlund got his first 2 goals as a captain. One was an empty net. Weird bank shot, but
hey, goal's a goal. Now, yep. But here's the thing about playing the Sharks, right? Because your first thought is, oh, easy win. But
trap
they
game.
Will win. They will win eventually.
No, they're going 0-82. Oh, no, sorry. 0-81-1.
Oh, they're gonna get 1 point.
They already have 1 point.
I know, and that's it.
Yeah.
No, they gotta obviously they're gonna win at some point. And
what
oh
team
boy,
do they beat though?
It's gonna the feel Oilers? So bad to be that team.
Holy I hope shit. It's the Oilers. I hope they shut out McDavid.
Oh my god.
10-0 on the Oilers.
Okay, if that happens, you gotta fire everyone, right?
Trade McDavid to San Jose.
Move the team. Fucking I don't know, man. That oh god.
Trade McDavid to Chicago and be like, you're welcome.
Why?
Because why not?
Fuck Chicago. Yeah, they just got Bedard. Fuck
I know. Fuck chaos. Them.
Also, LA's doing good. Anaheim's doing surprisingly good. 6-4. Better than a lot of people thought they would do this year.
Screw it. The Oilers need a goaltender. We'll trade them Markstrom for McDavid. Straight across. I'd be okay with that trade.
I'm sure starts. What?
Vladar, move him up to starting goalie. Solid. We have Wolf in the AHL. He's solid.
Of course, you're okay with that trade.
Okay, we'll throw in a draft pick.
Jesus. Every first rounder for the next decade?
Nah.
Not you guys that are gonna much. Suck because you don't have goaltending. Just like the Oilers. You'll be the Oilers but south. I am loving this recap, I'm not gonna lie. But
I'm not liking it because the Flames suck, but I mean,
you know who doesn't suck? The reigning Stanley Cup champions.
They yeah, it's kind of gross, isn't it?
11-0-1. They are on a 12-game point streak to start the season.
They're literally the Sharks, but flopped.
But reversed. They just beat Colorado last night 7-0. Vegas is taking no prisoners. But guess what?
Who did they beat 7-0? Sorry, I wasn't listening. I was looking at Colorado. Numbers. Colorado.
Yeah. Like, that's not a bad team.
No, they're 7-3. So
yeah. But one of those three is a 7-0 loss. But yeah, basically Canucks on pace to be the third best team in the league, which everyone predicted coming into the season. I don't know what to, like, Quinn Hughes has been incredible. Quinn Hughes has been absolutely fucking, he's got like 14 assists. He set the record for points by a Canucks defenseman in a game with 6 points in a game. Can you guess which game that took place?
I think I have an idea. Yep.
It might have rhymed with Schman, Schmo, Schmay, Schmarks.
You could have said the D.
Nope. Nope, that would have been too easy. But anyway, I think, I don't know, unless you got anything, any other thoughts? Terrible.
I'm just looking through the all the rest of the teams are kind of right where I anticipated them.
Detroit's doing pretty good.
Yeah, Detroit is another surprise.
Definitely.
I thought Boston, honestly, I thought they would drop off more than they have.
No Bergeron, no Krejci, like big changes, and they have one loss. One regulation loss.
Yeah, it's probably to Vegas.
No, actually, it was to... Hold on. It just happened, I believe, last night. They lost... Nope, the night before. The night before that. They lost to... What the fuck? When did they lose? Hold on. No, I'm finding this. They lost to Detroit. 5-4. Yeah, 5-4.
Okay.
Well, so, yeah, Detroit. Look out for Detroit, man. They're back, baby. They got DeBrincat from Ottawa.
Hey, young team with, I think, some veteran presence, if I remember correctly.
No.
So, is there any players-wise that have caught your eye? I know we talked about the players during this recap a little bit, but...
I mean, Jack Hughes has been fantastic. He's been a real kind of standout, putting up 20 points already.
He's tied with Pedersen. That's gross.
Yeah. William Nylander has had a great start to the season for the Leafs. Not that he's a bad player, but I believe he's on a 10 or 11 game point streak now. So, which is hilarious because this is a contract year for him. So he's going to probably make enough money where the Leafs can't afford him, which is a little hilarious. I'm not going to lie.
Well, look at that. Connor Bedard, not even the leader in rookies in points. He's washed up.
He's washed up.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Logan Cooley should have gone first overall. Or Bobby Brink.
It's very easy to go back and be like, oh, this guy should have been drafted better. This guy should have been drafted higher. We're also 10 games in.
I've just never really bothered to look at any of the stats because I knew I wouldn't see any of my Flames players on there because they don't know how to get points.
That is true.
Because I believe the Seattle game was only the second game that they got more than four goals, or at least four goals in. So the rest have been like two or less. So
I'm just going to point out, too, the only two rookies that have more points than Bedard have played another game than him.
What about it?
I mean, Bobby Brink and Logan Cooley both played 11 games. Bedard's only played 10.
Yeah.
So in 11th game for Bedard, he might put up 18 points. Who knows?
Yeah, but I would argue both those players play on a worse team.
Arizona's been decent.
Arizona's never decent.
Okay. Well, the Flames suck. Moving on. What's going on with football?
Well, my friend.
We got the playoffs.
We do got the playoffs. And I watched both games. And
wow.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Okay, good.
No, it was first up, we got the Hamilton Tiger Cats going to Montreal to play the Alouettes because that's the football team there.
Yep.
And Tiger Cats, this is the year where the Grey Cup is going to be in Hamilton. I've actually been somehow thinking of been like, is there some way I could get there and watch it? There isn't, but there's always hope because that's always one place I would not mind watching a football game in is in Hamilton. That's one stadium I've always wanted to check out, but it's not going to happen this year anyways. And Montreal ended up beating the Ticats 27-12. Hamilton, they did come out strong to start the game. I mean, the first quarter was a lot slower, but they're kind of feeling each other out. I feel like, which is kind of weird since I just played the week prior. But it was very vanilla-like first quarter. And then the second half happened. Second quarter, I should say. And due to turnovers, Montreal just started to pull ahead, and you definitely don't. Well, you don't want to have turnovers in any game, but in playoffs, it's when you're turning the ball over a bunch, it's really hard to come back from that.
True.
Cody, he looks solid. He went 15 for 23, 212 yards. Two touchdowns. He had one pick himself. I'm trying to remember the pick, but I can't.
Okay.
I watched 6 hours of football yesterday, and then I watched my hockey game yesterday. So I've had a sports Saturday, and it's actually kind of relaxing. Stressful at times, but the football, I'm not going to lie, the playoffs is kind of fun for different reasons when you're not stressing to the max because, I had no skin in the game, so I really didn't care the outcome. I was cheering for the Ticats because I really didn't want Cody or Jason Moss to win. Hamilton surprisingly actually started Matthew Schultz. I honestly thought they would go with Bo Levi because go with the playoff experience that Bo Levi definitely has. This is Matthew Schultz's first playoff start, which was must have been quite exciting for him. He went 13 for 23, 144 yards, no touchdowns, and one interception. Bo Levi came in, which I would argue way too late. It was only about, I don't know, 6.5 minutes left of the game. And he went 1 for 4, 6 yards, and he also threw an interception. So,
ooh.
Yeah, I don't know. I personally, I think what the score was 14-6 at the end of the half. I probably would have brought Bo Levi in to start the second half. Like I said, like it's hard to argue with experience. I will give some props because he was the only points for Hamilton Tiger Cats, and that's Mark Leggio. Best last name for a kicker.
Pretty solid.
But he went 4 for 4. He got a field goal, 1.25, which is actually kind of funny. I'm not going to lie.
Is it?
I think it is. Do you think it is?
Not really.
Oh. But yeah, he went 4 for 4. Excitedly, won every quarter as far as field goals go for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. So that's their entire 12 points. And yeah. Oh, I actually heard that sound loud. I apologize. At about less than a minute left of the game, there was actually a really intense scrum that happened between, well, it started with Chris Edwards, which, before I say too much more about the scrum, I do want to say I want Chris Edwards out of the league because he is the worst loser I have ever seen. And what I mean by loser, I don't mean losers. Well, I kind of do. I'm not going to lie. But what I honestly mean is he's a poor loser. Because he did something just as bad in against Toronto. In Toronto, the whole starting a fight in the fans or in the stands with the fans. This game, he ended up tossing Jake Hardy down to the ground after they were having a blocking match. And to start out as should have just been an innocent football play. The toss happened, and then all hell breaks loose. There's a scrum, a ref gets pushed over. Jason Moss, the head coach for the Montreal Alouettes, was not happy because this game was already decided. Montreal, if any suspensions happen from the scrum, Montreal has the only stuff to lose. And the shitty thing is, it was Hamilton that started it all. So, yeah, it's going to be real interesting. Probably coming Monday, maybe Tuesday, of what's coming down based off of this scrum. Hopefully, for Montreal's sake, all the players that are affected by this only get fined. Although there were players that came off the bench to participate in the scrum, and as soon as that happens in any sport, as both me and Austin know from seeing a couple of particular teams do some things.
True.
That's a big no-no.
Yeah.
So, it sucks. I expect to see some suspensions, even on the Montreal side. Hopefully, they can appeal them, get moved down to just a max fine or something, and still have their players play, because, like I said, they did not start this scrum. But I really should move on to the next game, I guess, hey? And,
yeah,
boy, oh boy, this game, it was a football game. Calgary, they came out. I know I haven't said the score yet. Well, I haven't even said the teams yet. Calgary playing BC in BC. Started the game with, well, they got the ball and they started with a 7-0, well, 3-play drive for a touchdown. 7-0. Happy, cheering, let's go us. And then BC got the ball. Nothing much happened the first drive. And then they got the ball again, got a touchdown. And then they got the ball again, got a touchdown. And then it seemed like basically every other time that they got the ball, they got the touchdown. And they ended up beating BC, or beating, not themselves, ended up beating Calgary 41-30. That 30 points flatters, absolute flatters Calgary. They got 11 points in the fourth quarter, which at that point, BC was, they had a pretty good feeling they were going to win. So I feel like they were just really trying not to get injured, because they will need all the help they can get to try and beat Winnipeg in the West Finals next week, which will not be an easy task.
No.
Just like last episode, and also to give Austin a little bit of time to prepare his brain, we will be doing our little fun little predictions of who we think will win in the East Final and the West Final after I do the CFL stuff at the end.
Going to the Grey Cup.
For that. Don't go anywhere, motherfuckers.
There's a teaser for a few minutes in the future.
All right. I went real aggressive with that.
You sure did.
But yeah, besides the first drive, Calgary was never in this game. Good old Vag played one of his best football games I have ever seen in my life. He had, he went 28 for 39, 413 yards, 2 passing touchdowns, and on top of all that, he had 7 carries for 54 yards and 3 rushing touchdowns. He had a 5-touchdown night.
Damn.
He put that team on his back when it's like, we're playing Winnipeg. Get ready. Let's go. That was decided. Yeah. Like I said, they had a little, oopsie doopsies. Not their best drive. Their first drive. But then they're like, okay, breathe. We got this. Put up 14 points in the first quarter, 14 points in the second quarter. Took it easy in the third quarter with only 3 and then 10 points in the fourth. So it was an all-out beat down by BC. Their defense played like how they started the season. That is actually kind of funny because start the season, everyone was like, BC's defense is going to be number one in the league, this and that. At the end of the regular season, they actually ended last, or well, not last, but second last, if not close to it, in lots of categories. So this game was kind of a bounce back game. They brought back what they were saving or what they were doing in the beginning of the year. And I do want to give another shout out to a BC Players player, Keon Hatcher, receiver, 12 targets, 9 catches for 195 yards and 1 touchdown.
Damn.
The entire game, he was blowing coverage wide open and making Vag's job easy and was able to penetrate the hole no problem.
What?
Jake Mayer from Calgary. Why did I say that so loud?
I don't know.
You hurt my ears. He also had a solid game. He went 23 for 34, 304 yards, 2 touchdowns. But like we talked about in the previous game, I mean, more or less me talked about in the previous game, you don't want to have turnovers. And he turned the ball over twice, which in any game isn't good. In a playoff game, it's actually not good because, like I already mentioned, BC took full advantage of that. And yeah, I really don't have much to say about Calgary. Jake Mayer, I don't think he's the answer. I honestly think Calgary's luck in finding franchise quarterbacks within their system past decade plus has finally ran out. One other thing I do want to mention about this game is, again, another crazy thing happened at the end, and that was the biggest collision. I don't even want to call it a hit because neither player saw it coming. It was on a kick return. Peyton Logan was returning for Calgary and ran into Jack Heinsberger, I think is his name. And I felt the hit through my TV.
Oh, shit.
It was insane. The Jack guy, he was knocked out before he even touched the ground. Peyton Logan was not in good shape either. Of course, broadcast went to the whole commercial break thing, came back, and the cart was out, and somehow both players just jump up, walk off the field. And I'm just sitting on my couch, just absolutely stunned. I don't know, I'm still speechless for what I witnessed. That's all I got for the recap. I do have a little bit other end of season news, because for some teams, it is the end of the season, and that's Red Blacks sounding like they're letting Kahari Jones, not resigning him. He was the OC for the Red Blacks, and they got to figure something out. And I don't know. I kind of feel like they're using Kahari Jones right now as a scapegoat. We'll see what happen. What else happens with the whole coaching situation with Red Blacks if they let go of their head coach, which I'm drawing a blank right now of his name, and I really don't care because it's the Red Blacks. But I will say this. I don't think I would mind having Kahari Jones possibly as a head coach for the Riders.
Oh, interesting.
But I also don't think he should be one of the first choices. I'm hearing rumblings about that, actually, that Henry Burris's hat's in the ring. So that would be interesting.
That could be interesting, yeah.
But I think it, and I hope it's Scott Milanovich for, who's the OC for, well, the Ticats, who now aren't playing football anymore. So we'll see what happens with that. But we're over a quota, Austin, but we still have one little quick of business to do. And that is the East Final and the West Final of the CFL playoffs. Just a little predictions. If you feel like throwing out scores, feel free. But you're not recommended. We will start with the East. I might as well go first because I'm already talking. We got Toronto Argonauts playing, well, in Toronto against Montreal Alouettes. Toronto, they're 16-2. Montreal's 9-7. 16-2 hasn't happened since 89 when Edmonton did that and they ended up not winning the Grey Cup. I think Toronto's going to win this game, and I think it's going to be a good battle. I'm going to throw out a score. I think it's going to be 35-30. A weird score.
That is a weird score. I hate to say it, but I think I agree. Toronto's going to win this one. Montreal's made it this far, but the Argos are just not. They're just going to shut that shit down. They're going to put up, I don't know, it'll be like 28-10.
Oh, it's a lower scoring game.
Yeah.
Well, you might as well start with the next team. So we got Winnipeg. In Winnipeg playing BC Lions. What you got?
Oh, I gotta go first for that one. All right.
Yeah, might as well.
So BC Lions obviously took out the Stamps, but I mean that wasn't, you know.
No, Stamps are 6-12.
It's not like they were a respectable record. They're gonna have to go up a real team against a real team, and they're not gonna win. Winnipeg's gonna win 33-12.
Oh, they're going to stomp on the Lions.
Oh, yeah. It's not going to be a close one.
They're going to put them in the, those cats in the pound.
Yeah.
I don't agree with you.
Oh.
I think it's going to be almost reversed.
Oh.
I think the Lions are going to come in there not rusty. The Bombers have been kind of coasting for a little bit now. And Mr. Vag has something he wants to prove, that he's not a, because so many teams just, you know, turned their back on him, didn't think he was the real deal. And I think he might be the real deal. So I think BC is going to come out, their defense is going to keep playing solid again, like what they did against Calgary and what they were doing at the beginning of the year. And I think the Lions are going to beat, in Winnipeg, they're going to beat the Bombers 35-12. It's going to be your score, but different outcome.
Okay. Interesting.
But Mr. Time-Changing Austin, do you have any other sports stuff or anything at all that you want to add before we sign off, my friend?
Not a damn thing.
Good. That's what I was hoping for. I also got nothing except for one thing. Best thing for last. Everyone out there, stay stoned and stay safe.
Bye.